Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lane.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babes?
I am doing just fine, but I feel like I need to address the elephant in the room. You are not in bed.
The first time in how long have I been doing this show?
Like two years or something, I don't know.
Yeah,
year and a half.
First time in, yeah, it's got to be at least 18 months. Yeah, I've left the bed. I've moved. So a new backdrop for anyone who sees the clips that we put up on social media. Normally, I'm sat with what's become probably the most famous headboard in Essex now. But we're giving the headboard a rest. And I was trying to early on figure out which, because I literally only moved Saturday. So early doors, I was just trying to figure out where best.
I'm kind of your best background.
Dining table, but more so lighting. I might move every week. It could be a new area.
Like a tour of your house.
I mean, it won't take long.
Yeah.
Within a couple of weeks, we would have done every corner. But yeah, just figuring out the lighting and that.
How's it been? How's the move been? Is it hard?
You know, really good, thank you, babe. Because everyone, like, normally it's a stressful thing, isn't it, moving? But I kind of feel like, touch wood, it was quite a smooth transition, shall I say?
I don't know if that's the right word.
We've transitioned, and I'm pretty much that sounds like there's an exclusive
breaking news.
we have it not in that way. But no, I've spent the last couple of days pretty much unboxing, and I'd say I'm a good 80% in and settled. I think there's always going to be a few little odds and sods that take a little bit longer, but I just kind of wanted to get the things I need daily in and kind of set up. But yeah, all good, thank you, babe. How Lovely. Have you been? You had a little trip.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I went to Madrid with my Rome friends. There was a little bit of drama. One of the girls I went with did break her ankle. So when I say a little bit of drama, that's quite serious drama, isn't it? So she had to rush off to a Spanish hospital and ended up leaving and coming back to the UK within 24 hours of arriving. But she's all right now. She's in a cast, but you know, she's recovering. So apparently it takes 6 weeks. But Madrid itself was absolutely gorgeous. Lots of drinking, lots of red wine and vermouth and Aperol spritzes, which is Italian, but anyway, and eating lots of tapas and walking around and enjoying the sun. It felt really nice.
And there was a special little weekend when you was there, wasn't it? Coincidentally, it was a fetish festival. Was it like a leather whips and chains S&M kind of turnout?
Yeah, there was a fetish Madrid fetish weekend. Thanks, yeah. Bob.
Tell me about that.
Well, we didn't actually see any of the fetish stuff, and that is a lie. We went to a club, but we didn't realise it was until we got there. We went to this club called Strong, which was lots and lots of topless men in harnesses and just their pants and dancing to really heavy techno music. And I'm going to say it, doing things in public.
Elaborate. What do you mean? Shot?
Well, you know, it was a free space. People were enjoying each other's company intimately. Should we say that?
So we're not talking they were doing yoga bombs. Getting to know each other well.
Well, very physically. so there was some of that.
Did you have your dog collar on?
No, I didn't, Bob. Thank you. I was the only person there for quite some time who was still wearing a vest. I was like, I'm not taking my top off. And the boys I was with, bless them, they were like, because I was being like, I'm too fat. And they were like, literally no one cares. You look fine. Just do it. And I did. And actually, it was fine. But we left there at like 6 in the morning. So it was quite a late night. But
messy one.
Yeah. But despite that, it was super fun weekend and an experience. Let's put it that way.
Did you meet a nice Spanish man?
I met a couple of nice Spanish men.
Oh, did you? Swap numbers? Give the old +44.
No swapping numbers. I there was one slightly comedy thing where I made eyes with this man in a bar, and he was huge, like big muscle, huge. And all of my other friends apart from one had left, and he said we were kissing at the bar, and he said it looked like a wardrobe had fallen on top of me. I was so big, and I looked so, and I'm not a small person, like, but I looked small next to him, and he was like, it looked like. And I said, you know, in Beauty and the Beast, where the big cupboard comes out and sings, it was like, I felt a bit like that. It was like this giant, like, wall coming towards me. But anyway, he was really handsome, so I'm not complaining.
Did you swap social media details, or was it
no,
just...
No, don't know his name. No, nothing of note. but it was a really fun weekend. And now in 2 weeks, I'm going to Italy, so I feel like I'm being really... really treated at the moment with the foreign
off
trips.
That passport.
Yeah, really have.
Stay out of the duty free now.
Yeah.
How was
very
Spain?
True.
Things are getting a little bit better. I think Greece doesn't require anything now. How was Spain? Is there still kind of like the passenger release forms and all that?
No, none of that. They're all you had to have was the NHS app on your phone, but they didn't even check if you had it in the app. They were just like, there's signs saying like get whatever the papers you got required, and it's all the different lists like from different countries. And as we like walked through, they literally didn't even look. They were just like keep going.
They're over it.
I think they're over it. to be fair, and if I didn't catch COVID from being in multiple clubs at an airport and blah, you know what I mean. I think we're all right. But yeah, none of that's to worry about.
Spanish, man.
You know, and I'm doing all right. So
doing all right, babes. Come home and done his latte flow. Do you know what I was just thinking? Now you said about the NHS app, I can't even remember, which shows you how much changes in a relatively short time. I can't remember the last time I even opened up that app to have to show anything.
Yeah, remember we had to scan things to go into places.
Yeah. that period of even if you just wanted to go and have a coffee somewhere, it was like signing in.
Yeah, and then if someone had COVID there, you'd be like isolate. Oh my god, it's so bizarre. But no, Spain is like pretty free now. I think the only time we had to wear a mask was in the airport. That's the only time that they were requiring masks for us. Everywhere else was absolutely fine.
Is it a bit
fine.
More relaxed on the plane, or is it still you have to wear it on plane?
They were still asking people. I think they were asking people to wear them, but I don't think you have to wear them. But as far as I could tell, everyone was. But yeah, it was pretty good.
Oh, nice.
So yeah.
But it got dusted off the travel when you kind of got the bug for it now, Italy coming up. That's exciting. It's just nice to have things in the diary, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm a big travel person. I love travelling. And I'm going to Paris at the end of July. So I've got like a couple of nice things sort of lined up now. It feels like, yeah, it's just nice. Festivals, all that. So
it's exciting. Yeah. It's a busy girl.
A busy girl, indeed, yeah. And it's nice. I'm not complaining.
No, exactly.
Well, we have a super exciting show today. We have Selling Sunset's Maya Vanda coming up to talk all things about the show and what she's been up to. And we also have Tyler from Love Island 2021 coming on to talk about his role as an ambassador for SOS Silent for Suicide. Lots to talk about with them. I'm going to have to go straight in with my... This week is a big week for me, Bob. Do you know why?
Absolutely. Whenever I see it in the calendar now, I'm like, it's Stephen's week. Of course, it is the Eurovision. It's returning. Now, what you don't know about the Eurovision ain't worth knowing. And I feel like the last couple of years, I've tried to get a bit of an education from you because I think I admitted before, I've never...
You've never really watched it.
Yeah. But I think I might try. So spill the tea, fill me in. What's happening in 2022?
2022. So it is in Turin, which is a city in northern Italy, because Italy won last year. They're all there now. We record this on a Tuesday. With the first semi-final happens tonight, the second one on Thursday. 10 countries from each of those semi-finals, they make it to the final on Saturday night. And there'll be a total of 25 countries competing on the Saturday night. The current favourite is Ukraine, for obvious reasons. A lot of people will probably vote for them. I get that. But this is the first time in my adult life that this has happened. The UK is also a favourite with one of your Essex I was going to say pals, but you definitely don't know him. A fellow Essexite.
Love that.
Sam Ryder, who is the most incredible singer. He's got long hair. He looks a bit like a Viking. He's got like a ginger beard, long blonde hair. Is singing a song called Spaceman, which is like a very classic sort of David Bowie, Elton John, Freddie Mercury, like very classic British sort of glam rock vibe. He's wearing a really incredible, like, bedazzled jumpsuit, black jumpsuit with all these, like, sparkly bits all over
it. Rocking the Essex heritage.
Yeah. But he's also, like, a super positive energy and a really, like, nice person. If you see him in interviews and stuff, he's just really, like, lovely and kind and, like, just, like, full of enthusiasm. And, yeah, he's currently somewhere between second and fourth favourite. So after the last 2 years, we've come last both times. And I think if all things going well, we would definitely be top five, which would be a vast improvement on where we've been. There's another couple of good ones. Sweden, a woman called Cornelia Jacobs, who's really good. I really do know too much, don't I? And Italy, who've got these two very handsome men called Mahmoud and Blanco, who are performing like this quite romantic ballad called Brividi. So they're the kind of favourites along with the UK.
Are they a couple?
They're not a couple, but it's like they're both gay. So it's like there's some sort of undertones to it. But it's very like, Italian, it's very romantic and nice. Yeah, and on Saturday night, you might recognize one of the presenters because it's, do you remember Mika, the pop star Mika?
Gosh, yeah.
So he's a big deal in Italy. He's like on their version of The Voice and he speaks Italian and English, obviously. So he's going to be one of the presenters on the night.
Wow. So this could be a good year to get into it because, like you say, we're in at least the top four of being favourite. Now, from what I know, as a complete Eurovision virgin, is that doesn't happen a lot for us.
No.
And we're quite often the nil pois. So
yeah.
Top five would be amazing. I mean, it'd be great if we could win it, wouldn't it?
I mean, if we could
especially
win
if
it.
If it's a fellow Essex man.
Exactly, yeah. We could be, all of Europe could be heading to Southend for 2022 or something. The Pavilion.
Though, I can probably see, I don't know the ins and outs of obviously the how it all works and that, but I can probably see Ukraine doing very, very well for obvious reasons.
I definitely think that's a possibility. And for obvious reasons, people are going to want to pick up the phone votes, and I totally get that. It's not my favourite song, I would say, but each their own. And the whole point of Eurovision is that, like, obviously there's a wide variety and types of pop music that appeal to different people all over Europe. Do you know what I mean? I don't, like, the Italian one is certainly not one that you'd hear on the British charts, but in Europe, it's really successful and does really well, and that might be the reason why it ends up winning.
I mean, it would be a lovely boost for Ukraine, wouldn't it, and for almost the world to be showing support.
Yeah.
What then happens, because what I do remember is the knowledge when you've given me of the Eurovision rules, which I do often feel like the worst gay man in the world, because I don't know, it is very much celebrated by a lot of the community. I hate to generalise, but it is.
You're not wrong.
Don't we, whoever wins it, then the following year is held
they host
there.
It. Yeah. So if you're saying if Ukraine won, what would happen?
Yeah.
Well, it has already been like discussed. They obviously, no one can really know what's going to happen with everything going on in Ukraine and whether or not Russia will still be. Actually, interestingly, Russia have been banned from taking part in Eurovision this year.
Have they?
Yeah, so I think the theory is that if they were to win, they would. So their television. So the way that the BBC. So the BBC are show Eurovision here, right? And they also put the acts together and all the performance aspect and stuff. So what would probably happen is the Ukrainian broadcaster would elect to hold it somewhere else, but they would still be in charge of all the details. Do you know what I mean? So say for instance, they wanted to hold it in London, then that would happen. They'd find a venue and all of that, but it wouldn't be the BBC running it. It would be the Ukrainian broadcaster still. So oh, it right. still so have
they'd
a
still
Ukrainian
have full control like yeah. they would have, but another country would be willing to, and quite rightly so, yeah. hold it in their honour. Gosh, if it was London, I can see you online Sunday morning booking tickets. Do you book tickets for it? Is that how it works?
You can go. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's basically like a whole fortnight now of like of preparation, because they do all the rehearsals and stuff, which people can go to. They open up something called the Eurovision Village, which is like a little Olympic village kind of thing where you can go and like watch it and eat and drink. Because when I went in Portugal a few years ago, spent quite a lot of time drinking beer in the Eurovision Village, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, if it did come to the UK, I'd be absolutely delighted, because it is literally my gay Christmas.
love that.
But we'll have to wait and see on the night, I guess. There's certainly no guarantees, but I have a good feeling that even if we don't win, I think we'll do very well.
That would be really nice. And I'm intrigued to see these handsome Italian men.
Give them a Google, Mahmoud and Blanco. I'm telling you now. Take some notes, no problem.
This could be the year I watch. Good luck to everyone involved. It does sound like it's actually going to be a good one. And, yeah. and I think, you know, sometimes when the madness of what goes on in the world, and especially the last couple of years, and even more so with what's going on now, how nice to have something like that mm-hmm. that can kind of bring people together.
And celebrate and party and have a nice time, you know.
Exactly.
And the fact that Ukraine have even managed to put an act together and send one in all the terrible situation that's going down, that's just great, great news. Do you know what I mean? They got special dispensation to leave the country because men over the age of 18 or something aren't allowed to leave. So yeah, I mean, it's great, I think. So anyway, we'll have to see
when we talk next week. Yeah.
I might be crying into my glass of water, or I'll be ecstatic. So
final prediction.
Final prediction. I think we're going to come third. I have a feeling we're going to do really, really well, and it'll be the best result we've had in a long time, and it will set us up for doing really well in the future. I think we'll just be beaten by the Ukraine or Italy, to be honest. That's my...
You reckon they're top three? I mean, even third is a bronze. That's a medal.
I certainly would not be complaining. I would be cheering from the rooftops.
Exactly.
So,
and now I'm a professional singer after doing celebrity karaoke, I could maybe put myself forward for next year, just saying.
Well, do you know what? Let's call the BBC tomorrow and say we've got someone in mind for 2023, whatever happens.
So, I'll get warming up.
can't wait to hear that. Well, we have our first guest, very exciting. The gorgeous Maya Vander from Selling Sunset is here, so let's get her in.
Fab.
Hi guys, sorry, it was just like real estate stuff.
No problem at all, Maya. How are you doing?
Good, how is it going?
Really?
I was asking,
good.
I was like, do we do video? Because I was just washing my hair, I haven't even tried
it. You look gorgeous, nothing to worry about.
You put them.
How have you been? Busy day?
It's good. It's only 1 o'clock here, and it's just been nonstop since, you know, whatever, 7 a.m. So between the kids and, you know, work. So
that is hectic. Yeah. 7 a.m. starts. You work hard in America. I have to give you that.
You know what we do? It's always like we are the rat race. Well, we're chasing the dollars here in America.
You wouldn't get anyone in the UK doing that. Yeah, we'd be like, no, I'm not starting till 9.
I know.
So how have things been for you?
Everything is good. You know, I had a couple of rough few months with my, unfortunately, baby loss.
Of course.
That was in December. But things are, you know, things are better. I'm doing better. I'm busy with work. Obviously, we just filmed a reunion like 2 weeks ago. And I have my kids and my husband. So it's been hectic. And work, obviously, real estate.
How did the reunion go? I'm sure you're not allowed to
but apparently my face was all over the Twitter.
Yeah, your reaction face. Yeah, yeah.
You know, here's the thing. So we filmed the reunion for 6 hours. Out of the six hours, 1 hour that you guys saw, we were filming for six. So out of the 6 hours, we probably talked about Jason and Krishal for 4.5 hours. And she cried and he cried and she cried. So I'm like, wow, maybe there is even a chance here for a comeback. So I didn't expect Krishal to come and say, oh yeah, by the way, now I moved on. I'm dating someone. So I'm very happy for her. I just didn't know she was dating anyone. And, you know, everybody else apparently knew. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, I'm looking at the video, who she's dating. I'm looking at her. I'm looking at Mary. And my friends are just serious. So I'm just looking. And then it became like, oh my gosh, Maya is like terrified. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just, I was surprised. But I'm happy, whatever, you know, whatever makes people happy.
Do you think there is potential for them to get back together? Can you see that on the cards?
I thought so, but no, I think they both moved on. You know, it was just very emotional. I think Jason has a lot of strong feeling for Krishal still. I'm sure she has some, you know, well, she moved on, obviously, so maybe she had some feelings, but I think they're in a different place, and I guess they want different things. And that's just, you know, how relationships are. Not everybody have the same goals and mindset.
And I mean, I read some stuff online saying that people were really surprised at like Tan France being quite like, it was like a journalist, like a serious journalist asking all these probing questions. Did it feel like that when you were there? Was he quite serious and sort of?
You know, he was a straight shooter. He had like, I think, very good questions that people wanted to know. I know he got some criticism. I read some comments, but you know, I think he did a great job. You know, the questions were to the point. He talked to everyone. I thought he was doing good. I liked him.
I wanted to ask you, hun, obviously now you're 5 series in to the show. How do you think the show's evolved? And do you think it's changed when you look back to series one compared to what it's become now? Can you see a change?
If I had a times, I would like, you know, the show, I felt like when we start filming at least season one and two, it was kind of like, okay, yeah, you have this slightly cattiness, slightly bitchiness, but it was very much, we are strong women, we're selling real estate, we're all in it to win it kind of, you know, storylines. And everybody got equal screen time and we all did real estate and it was great. I felt like since season 4 and 5, I thought it was more gossipy, more less real estate. My scenes got cut, you know, big time. Production chose to focus on some cast members more than other. And it's a little bit disappointing. I think the show is great. And obviously season 4 and 5 did well. I wish personally we shot more real estate, and I wish we had more drama around real estate. There is enough going on in this business that we could film and make it like funny and entertainment. You know, clients, buyers, sellers, people don't show up to showings, clients, you know, to go with another agent. Like there is so much we can do to still make it fun and entertaining with some personal drama. And I felt like it was just way more just girls' drama and cattiness.
Does that frustrate you? Because especially when you're having your scenes cut and you feel like the show's changed in the last 2 seasons, when it becomes less about real estate and more of a traditional kind of reality show, which is dramatic and drama, and some might say a bit bitchy, does that bother you when it's affecting your airtime and your scenes being cut?
Yes, I mean, look, it does really well. I guess drama sell, people love it. But I personally, I wish we had more real estate. I would love to have that in the show. I thought we started as like a strong, you know, group of women who wants to sell real estate, were very driven, and it's all about that. And now it became like all about what she says, what he says, you know, why did she say that? And we film a show, so it's like for me personally, I have to ask a question and I have to make a comment. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be on the show. Mm. But do I really personally care? No, I wish I could talk about real estate all day long in the show. So personally, yes, I am a little bit disappointed. I felt like we started very like more real estate-y, and sure, with a little bit of, you know, bits and pieces of drama. That being said, it's doing really well. So I don't know, maybe people love that drama, the housewifey cuttiness stuff.
Well, I feel like with Selling Sunset, it was definitely the thing that, well, certainly people, I think that my friends who in London and the UK, the reason they liked it was because they were seeing inside these giant mansions and like getting to see stuff that they you'd never really see. And certainly people don't really have those style of houses here. So it's quite like exotic, you know what I mean? So yeah, maybe it's quite interesting to see. Do you think going forward that it will probably stay that way now that they've amped up the drama? Can you see
honestly, I think it's going to even be more drama. I mean, clearly they cast Chelsea, so we can see how that's going to go. Because she's, you know, she has big personality, and granted, she's a great addition to the show. But that being said, you know, they needed to editing an extra layer, someone to film with Christine. So I think it's going to take the same. I mean, I wish the producer would change direction and kind of shift the drama more towards the real estate aspect of the business. I have a feeling it's just going to go more drama. I mean, looking at the trailer for The OC, for instance, that's heavily drama, seems like. And I think like this is the direction our show is going, if it's not already there, frankly. Mm. Yeah.
Have you seen anyone on the show kind of change over the 5-6 seasons that you've done? You know, like when you all start and it's a new thing and no one kind of knows what it's going to be, and there was no show like it, you know, it kind of was the first of its kind, and then people get a bit of a profile, don't they, and sometimes it can change them.
Money and fame, I think, changed some people. I mean, I can tell you the girls in the show are pretty cool, nice. Maybe some take it, you know, a little bit to the next level, not going to say names. But overall, I think more.
You can say names.
Because I don't want the producer to get an idea for season 6.
That's the next storyline.
I don't want to be the drama. I don't care. But I feel like some girls, you know, maybe they think they're a little bit more famous. And yeah, I'm sure we did get the publicity and people recognize us. But I mean, let's just stay humble. It's only a reality show. I mean, we are, at the end of the day, we are not Jennifer Lopez or Angelina Jolie. So calm down here, you know?
Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, obviously, now you've done your reunion and everything, in terms of season 6, are you happy to come back? Have you signed a contract to come back?
I got a renewal contract, but I don't know. I'm in Miami. I have my kids. I really want to just be with them and with my husband and with my family. I flew every week to film Selling Sunset. And it's a great opportunity. I'm very thankful to be part of it. I'm not crazy the way the direction of the show is going with the drama, because I just don't want to be part of the drama. And unfortunately, if you're not part of the drama, you are getting cut with the scenes. You're barely in it, in my at least experience. So it's something I have to really, I don't know, think if it makes sense for me. Just because, you know, like, I like the girls. I get along with all of them. I don't want to say things. I don't want to fight with girls. It's really not me. I just want to focus on elevating my business here in Florida and focus on my family.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I can understand why you feel like that. Tell us a bit about the business in Florida. How's it going?
It's great. You know, Miami, it's been on fire in the last, literally since the pandemic. A lot of people from California are moving, also Northeast, like New York, and so on. So
really, they're choosing Florida. That's interesting. Huh? They're choosing to move to Florida. Oh.
Yeah, because of the taxes, they have like taxing incentives. So, you know, money talks, you know. I remember when I first moved to the U.S., my ex-boyfriend, he's like, every question that you're going to ask, the answer is about money. And he's sure right, because everything is about money. So also the moving to Florida is, yeah, the weather is nice, sure, but it's mostly taxes. It's a great business here. And look, I'm still licensed in LA. I'm working with very couple of clients in LA, you know, that if once they're ready to buy, I'll take a flight there. I'll hopefully sell them something. But I'm just trying to grow my team here. I have 3 girls on my team. And we just work together and trying to close deals and, you know, make money.
The idea of living in LA and being back in there, it's one thing working there. Is it something you can see on the cards? Would you want to be in that LA bubble?
If I would want to go back to LA, you mean?
Yeah.
You know, I lived in LA 15 years and LA will always be home. But I think the city changed I think there is a lot of issues in the city, besides that the traffic sucks.
Oh my God, that's the one, when I went to LA, it really did ruin the vibe.
Yeah. The traffic sucks.
It's so terrible.
It is terrible. And you have beautiful pockets in LA, but a lot of pockets are like, eh. I don't think LA has as nice ambiance as Miami. I think Miami is always feeling like a nice ambiance. Like I drive to show and I see the beautiful turquoise ocean. There is a little bit different vibe in Miami. So I actually personally really like it.
Is LA a bit more like industry town? Because everyone's like working. There's less sort of fun. I don't know. Is that the kind of vibe?
So LA, you know, obviously the entertainment business is a big business in LA. So that's the place to be. You have actors, producers, writers. That's the place, really. And it's great. And the real estate is a great market for me there. I just think LA lacking a little bit of like, I don't know, something is missing with the ambience in LA. There is no place that you can walk everywhere. You know, everything, you have to drive. Everything feels like more like a hassle than, and it's still, by the way, compared to New York, it's a pretty laid back city. But I don't know. I remember when I first came from Israel to LA, I looked at LA, I'm like, this is Los Angeles. And I went to Hollywood, I'm like, this is it. I was so disappointed. I'm like, it looks so dirty.
The walking thing is such a good point as well, because I feel like, yeah, you can't walk anywhere, can you, in LA? Like, it's just not built for that. Like,
no,
and it's
not.
So spread out that nothing's like, you can't, yeah, I found that interesting when I was there, especially being a Londoner, I walk everywhere, you know? Like,
exactly. So, yeah, I mean, you know, look, you have the pros and cons. The weather is pretty stable in LA, so that's a nice perk. Obviously, you know, you have like beautiful areas like Malibu in Miami, in Santa Monica. Those are pretty. Beverly Hills is pretty. And you know, the hills are gorgeous, obviously. But
you're more about selling properties in Miami now rather than the
I'm selling
Hollywood
here
hills.
And it's fine. Yeah,
are
exactly.
Are the clients different? Do you ever get like one of the Kardashians or the Jenner call you up and go, right, need a new house, babe?
Not I wish accent, actually.
Obviously.
I would love to get a call from the Kardashian and sell something here.
Be a nice bit of commission, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Woo.
Oh my gosh. I know. A friend of mine, he works with them. I know him. He's an agent. He does all the deals with them. I'm like, it's all you need. You need like one good client. You don't need like 20 of them to give you a headache.
And
only
there's
one.
Enough of them, aren't they? Yeah. Once you're in with a family.
They buy, they sell, the sisters. Like it's a whole thing there. And good for them. You know, actually, I like the Kardashians.
I love a Kardashian. Kardashian,
I love a Kardashian home. I mean, I wouldn't.
Yes.
Maybe not Kim's one that she had with Kanye, which looked a bit like a church. But you know, all the rest of them could definitely down for. You mentioned obviously what happened with you back in December, and that must have been incredibly difficult for you. How are you feeling now about it? Because it's something that must stay with you.
Yeah, you know, people always confuse between miscarriage and stillbirth. Stillbirth is once you actually have to deliver a baby at over 20 weeks. I was 38 weeks pregnant, so I was like literally 9 months.
Can't imagine.
I went to a checkup and, you know, I felt less movements. Long story short, a few days later, they felt there was no heartbeat. So I'm laying down and, you know, I see the ultrasound and, you know, the face of the technician and she kind of like looks sad. It was a very traumatic experience. I had to go to the hospital and literally do a full delivery to a dead baby. Then you have to think, what do you do? You know, do you cremate? Do you do a funeral? I chose to do a funeral, so I just have a site to go and visit. But it's a terrible experience. I don't wish it on anyone, not even, I don't hate people, but even if I would hate someone or enemies, I would never wish it on someone to bury a baby. It's the worst experience ever. And, you know, we are 5 months, actually, oddly enough, today, 5 months. And it does stays with me. It will always stays with me. And it just gives you a perspective of life, too. That's why part of it, I'm like, what do I do with season six? You know, with Selling Sunset, do I really want to travel every week? I do want to get pregnant again. So maybe it's okay to slow down and take it easy. I mean, slow down in the sense of like traveling coast to coast.
Yeah, because I imagine you still want to work and do your job, but yeah.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
I'm so sorry you had to go through it. I mean, I honestly can't imagine. And it's very brave of you to speak so openly about it. I think that's what people appreciate as well, because it's the same with a lot of things they haven't been spoken about before. So the more open people can be, the better it is for everyone, right?
Yeah, you know, I just saw that Ronaldo and his wife lost, yeah, you know, I think he played in England somewhere. I don't know who he plays with for. But, you know, she had twins, right? So people probably told her, oh, but at least you have one daughter. But it doesn't matter. She still has the other twin. She still have to deal with, like, burial stuff. And they still lost a child. So it's a very sensitive topic. And it's not as common. But I got to tell you, since I spoke about it so publicly, I have so many messages from women. So it's more common than people actually think. Mm. Although the statistics are saying otherwise, but I don't know. I've been getting a lot of messages from women. So, you know, I have a public platform to talk about it and hopefully help other women, just knowing they're not alone. And
100%. What have you got coming up this summer? Anything exciting?
So that's the thing. I know they're going to film Selling Sunset. I just don't know if I'm going to be there. you know, we have two kids and one is 2 years old, the other one is 3 years old. And honestly, like, just thinking about going on vacation with them and hopping on a flight somewhere with two little kids, I kind of want to stay put. So probably we're just going to take it easy and stay in Miami.
Fair enough. I can totally understand that. Well,
I mean, I do miss, you know, I've been to London one time. I really miss, I mean, I want to travel. I used to travel so much before I moved to LA when I was in my 20s. I miss traveling, but with two little kids, I got to wait for them to grow up a little bit.
Yeah. It's a long flight, I imagine, with a couple of kids.
Oh my gosh. It honestly sounds like a nightmare.
Whenever I'm on a plane and I see parents, especially with young children, my heart goes out. So it must be the hardest thing to try and keep a child entertained on a flight. I get bored on a flight. Well, how do you treat that? You know what I mean?
At least you can just lay down and sleep.
Try and have a sleep or watch a film or something. But for a child trying to keep them entertained, when it's not exactly the most exciting thing being on a plane, is it?
So no, iPads.
Exactly.
iPads is the answer.
Exactly.
You just see parents with like multiple iPads just throwing them at their children. Now it's the only way to get through.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening, Mo. It's been really great to speak to you.
Yeah, it's 6 p.m. your time. I know you guys are going to probably go to the pub and have a beer.
I wish. We've got another guest on after you, maybe after that.
Nice.
So thank you so much. And best of luck with your decision, because I guess it's going to be a big one for you.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, you know. We'll see.
Feel free to come on and talk to us about it afterwards.
Yeah. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, Maya.
Have a lovely day.
Bye, guys. Bye.
How lovely, and especially after what she's been through recently with the stillbirth, to still be a positive. I mean, yeah, to still be upbeat and positive. I don't know how she's done it, but really
incredible lady.
And you can see why it would be a difficult decision for her to return, can't you?
Yeah. Absolutely. I guess
intrigued.
It's something that only her and her family will know as and when. I guess with decisions like that, when you know, don't you? And sometimes you don't want to rush into something like that.
100%. Totally get it. Well, there was some other showbiz news this week that I wanted to touch on before our next guest Tyler comes on. Have you been following the early stages of the Colleen Rooney, Rebecca Vardy case?
Oh, Ray Wagger for Christie back Wagger in town.
The court case has begun. It's officially begun. I didn't think we'd actually get to this stage. I thought they might settle out of court. Seems not. So they're going to drag each other through the mud.
It's such a hard one, isn't it? Because it almost, when I heard about it, it was starting, I think it started yesterday in the court. I'd almost forgot about that moment in time when it was such a huge thing. Everyone was talking about it, like the internet blew up, didn't it? Like with the memes and everything. I mean, even thinking of some of the things now does make me laugh. But it's one of them things where I wonder how this ends. What becomes the conclusion? Because both ladies seem so adamant from what I'm reading. Obviously, I don't know, but. I don't know. Obviously, I'm guessing a hell of a lot of money is being thrown at this in legal fees. And
100%. They're not. I mean, certainly to go to court and stuff is not cheap. And it kind of gives me the same sort of vibe as that Amber Heard and Johnny Depp stuff, in that no one's coming out of this particularly well. Like when you have to sort of discuss every private message you've ever sent and every comment you've ever made in the public eye before, and there's video, and you know what I mean? It's like, I don't think anyone can sort of, yeah, come off well from it.
There's no real winner.
No. And that's quite intriguing with someone like Colleen and Rebecca, because they've chosen to come this far. So they obviously believe in what they're saying is right.
I'm sure. Yeah. To get that far, I'm sure they're both adamant that, and they feel strongly that they're both in the right. And I wonder if that outweighs, because the money, I'm guessing, and I'm only assuming, I don't know, what you would pay for your legal teams and what this is costing probably is going to outweigh whatever the conclusion's going to be at the end, if there's damages or whatever. So then does it kind of become about pride and what's right rather than money? And let's face it, from what we see, the girls are doing all right money-wise. So I don't think it's solely about, like, I think they're doing all right a little bit.
I don't know if you saw the pictures there. I thought it was quite interesting that Wayne Rooney did accompany Colleen to court, but Jamie Vardy was not at court.
That's interesting.
You would have thought that he would have sort of gone there to support his wife in what would probably be one of the things she's most known for. And, you know, but yeah, wasn't there. As far as I've seen, I might have missed a picture, but as far as I could see, he wasn't there.
So. I just assumed, and I mean, obviously, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors, but I just thought after the story broke and it became as huge as it was and everyone was talking about it, I just thought there'd be a little, do you want to go for a coffee? Or should we have a FaceTime? I kind of thought they'd just sort it behind closed doors. But playing devil's advocate, I guess it is a hard, when you know what you're saying or what you feel, that's where it kind of becomes, like I say, going back to the point of maybe it's just wanting to kind of, whether it's clear your name, have your truth, more so than any financial gain.
Yeah.
But I literally can't call it. I don't know how that. I mean, obviously, I know zero about what the evidence is or anything. I've just seen little bits online. So yeah, I guess watch this space. We might know more by next week.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I think there's definitely potential for it to be over by then. But we'll. It's going to be an interesting one to watch. Well, our second and final guest of the evening, Tyler from Love Island, is here. So let's get in.
Perfect.
Hello, 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 hello. Can you hear me? Hey, Bobby, how you doing?
Good, thank you. How you been, Tyler?
I've been good. The beer's looking mad. That looks good, man. That looks good. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you very much, mate. Thank you. How have you been moving up to?
To be fair, I just come back from the gym. Just been gymming. I've been all over the place. The last 2 weeks, I've been to Turkey, Ireland, a bit of traveling for work and stuff. But so, yeah, it's been all right. It's been good.
Busy man.
Yeah, on the move all the time. We're going to Italy. I'm going to Italy in like 2 days' time as well. So, yeah, just a lot going on at the moment, Bobby. What about yourself? How have you been?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Not too bad, mate. Yeah. Italy, is that business or pleasure?
That is for my birthday. So my birthday is on Thursday.
Nice.
I'm going to Rome. Yeah, thank you, man. I'm going to Rome. Never been before, so I'm really excited about it, to be fair.
Yeah, I've never ever been. Well, there's so much of Italy I'd love to do. It looks incredible. Rome's meant to be like next level.
Really? I've heard, to be fair, we're doing a bit of sightseeing, so we're going to the Colosseum, Trevi Fountain, and we want to go and see the Vatican City, but I don't know how far it is from where we're staying.
It's right in the center of Rome, so you should be all right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My auntie used to live there, funnily enough, so I visited, but like long time ago. It is beautiful.
Yeah,
I mean, it really is. There's nowhere else like it in the world because it's like proper ancient sort of city. We can talk about travel for the rest of the evening.
Ty, I've got to ask you. You say we? Are you going with a lady friend?
I am going with her. Yeah, wait. To be fair, it's I've known her for years. We're literally just friends. We're just friends. So,
but things have escalated.
Do you know what I've noticed? Like, like gents, blokes, like we don't know how to organize trips, especially my mates. Like we're so unorganized with things, it's unbelievable. Whereas girls, they're just like, yeah, boom, this is it, da, 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 just send me the money and just turn up. And that's it. So I transferred her the money and I'm literally just turning up on Thursday. She sorted absolutely everything. So yeah, it's just the hassle has just gone from it. You know,
I think that's the best way to be with travel stuff. Yeah, pass on the responsibility to someone else.
Yeah, 100%. Because I can't organise shit. I'm sorry, but I can't organise shit. You know, so
Very romantic place, though. It's lovely to go with someone special. Are you?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know, Bobby.
So how has life been for you since Love Island? Wait, it was last year, wasn't it? Yeah. How's it all been for you since? So yeah, it must have been a pretty wild ride.
It's been good. The thing is, Stephen, a lot of ups and downs, as I would expect, to be honest. I knew what I signed up for, essentially. More ups and downs. So my life has just changed completely. You know, I'm going to all these events that I never would have been going to before. And I'm meeting all these people that I used to watch on TV. And it's just so surreal. It's almost as though you're having pinch me moments like all the time. Do you know what I mean? So you're just immersed in this world and everyone knows who you are. And, you know, you've got all these fans, you're going to places, everyone recognizes you. And, you know, yeah, it's quite hard to kind of put into words, but I'm used to it now, I would say.
Wanted to ask, because you've been really open and you spoke a few times about your mental health. How are you doing now?
I'm good, yeah. So I'm really good. I think, obviously, nothing can really prepare you for, you know, what's to come when you come off the show. You know, you get all the help in the world, you get all the advice in the world, you know, you get your support system around you, but nothing can really, really prepare you for what is to come. You could come out to a whole load of positivity, you could come up to a whole load of negativity or a mixed bag. You just never really know. So I think when I first came off, you know, there was a lot of negativity and stigma surrounding myself and the relationship that I was in. And I wasn't really necessarily expecting to come out to that. So it was kind of like, it hit me a little bit because I just wasn't expecting it. Now, I mean, I'm one of those people that I've got really thick skin. So, you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, it won't bother me. But everyone has their off days. Like, I'm only human, for example. So I'll be having an off day and then I'll see a comment, for example, or I'll get a DM or whatever it is, or even like in person, someone will say something and it will affect you because I'm only human, right? So I think it's good to just kind of have, you know, a good support system around you. So family and friends, you know, I'm really close to mum and dad, brothers, and I've got my close knit circle of friends as well that always keep me grounded. I can always talk to them, et cetera, et cetera. And ITV is really good for aftercare as well. So you always have someone there to speak to, which I think is very key in coming off a show like Love Island and you're in the public eye and every single like move you make is scrutinized. So, yeah, I had a lot of support, which I think helped a great deal, you know. But, yeah, as I said before, Bobby, you know, you can never really know what you're coming out to.
No. How is social media? Like you say, 9 out of 10 of the things you read can kind of just go over your head, or sometimes you even laugh at them, don't you? But there's sometimes there's certain ones that just cut that little bit deep.
Yeah,
stay in your head a little bit. How do you deal and how do you find trolls and
So social media has gotten a lot better, I would say. You know, one time back, there was no filter or there was no protection against like trolling. But I think especially that Instagram has gotten a lot better in terms of you can filter out keywords and stuff like that. So you generally just won't see it, even if someone was to say it and your followers wouldn't see it either. So it's gotten a lot better. But you know, as you said, like you have your off day, and I've had it in the past before. It hasn't happened for a long time, but I've had it in the past before where someone's DM'd me something crazy or commented on something and I've actually replied to that person and that's what they want. And the thing is, like, I remember
validation.
On a couple of occasions, Stephen, like, I've replied and then the person has replied back saying, oh, for future reference, that's all we wanted was a reply. Like, I didn't actually mean it. I just wanted a reply out of you. And it's just so annoying because I've literally just like baited the hook, you know, I've bitten.
You bite.
And
fed the beast.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's all they want. That is all they want. They just want to, you know, show their friends or whatever. Oh yeah, he's replied to me, whatever it is. And they don't actually mean it, you know? So I've had, you know, DMs of where I've replied to and people have said, oh, you know what? I'm actually really sorry. I didn't mean it. I just wanted you to reply. So, I mean, I guess, you know, that kind of helps in a sense, but it's still not nice.
Talking of DMs, we'll move away from the trolling. What are the DMs saying? So since coming out of the island and stuff and being a single man, are you surprised or was you surprised with the way that the DMs were popping off and what were they filling us in?
You know what, Bobby? I would say I've always got, like, without sounding big-headed or anything, I've always got my fair share, right? But I think having, like, this boosted platform or whatever, you do get some crazy DMs. And you get some normal ones, like, you know, you go somewhere to an event or whatever, and then you'll get a few DMs of people that said, oh, I wanted to come speak to you, or I've seen you at this place, or, you know, shall we go for a drink, et cetera, et cetera. And then you get, like, the other side where it's just, like, random pictures. Or just, like, do you know what I mean? Without getting too much into it.
What kind of pictures have you had?
You can't say without getting too much into it.
We're unfiltered. You can tell us everything. What pictures have people DMing?
Just pictures that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily post on your Instagram.
On your grid.
to put it politely. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously flattering, you know, that people are sort of, they like you that much that they're willing to put themselves out like that, I guess, you know. I always see the positivity of things. So yeah, I mean, I try to reply to as much as possible, but what can you really say to someone that's just sending you a picture?
Do you know what I mean? Hello, how are you?
Yeah, like, hi, thanks. Or yeah, like, I mean, you want to see that right
it's
now?
It's not
like
a conversation starter, is it?
No, it's actually not.
How do you find dating off the back of being on the show?
Do you know what, Bobby? I haven't really been out there, to be fair. I've just been so busy and so focused on what I'm trying to do. There's just no real time for it. Like, I'm actually really trying to get on the property ladder as soon as possible. And there's a lot of work going into it. And, you know, I've got my hands in, you know, in all of the pies, or so to speak. So there's just no real time for it. I mean, I'm just really just focusing on myself. I mean, they always say, if you go looking for it, you won't find it. It comes and finds you when you least expect it, when you're not looking for it. I guess I'm just... No, certainly not in there. Certainly not in there.
Is that what you found in your friend that you're going to Rome with?
No, listen, that is strictly friendship. Don't even start. So
I'm only playing. Yeah.
So yeah, mate, honestly, like, just been focusing on myself. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I'm sure it'll come eventually, you know?
It's a good mentality to have. You're so right. That's what they say, don't they? When you look for it, I think they say you attract the wrong thing.
There we go. This is the thing, right? So yeah, I'm just chilling for now, you know, hopefully someone comes along, sweeps me off my feet. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So
best way to think about things.
We'll see.
And you've become an ambassador for a charity, haven't you?
Yeah. So I'm an ambassador for young people, for the SOS charity, so Science of Suicide. And essentially, I wanted to get into it because I'm a huge advocate for mental health. You know, there's even Mental Health Week this week, actually. So, it's, you know, it's quite sort of, it's quite good that we're actually having this talk this week. And the theme is actually loneliness. And I think it's a good theme to kind of touch on, especially as we've just kind of, well, I would say we're coming out of COVID a little bit. Like, it's not really talked about as much. You know, you can travel quite freely now. You know, there's no real masks and stuff like that. So I think we're coming to, like, the back end of COVID now, whereas, like, before, you know, we were suffering for about a year or two with COVID. And I think it really was detrimental to a lot of people's mental health.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so, I mean, I really wanted to get involved. I experienced, you know, sort of firsthand what mental health could do to someone in the form of one of my mates. So I really wanted to kind of use my platform and speak about it a bit more, because I feel as though, you know, sometimes it's not really spoken about. Mm-hmm. People are sort of, maybe scared is the wrong word, but, you know, for want for a better word, scared to actually speak about it and scared to speak about their feelings.
And Brits as well. Brits, we're kind of bad for that, right? Like sweeping stuff under the carpet, like not confronting stuff.
100%. You kind of just take it on the chin and you burn yourself with it, whereas you should really be talking about it. But again, maybe people would want to speak about it, but they don't know who to actually turn to. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as I said, I wanted to use my platform and kind of, show people that even though I've been on a show like Love Island, you know, I'm a really sort of down-to-earth person, you know, if you did really want to speak about mental health, you know, that you could actually speak to, you know, my team and I can put my input in there as well and stuff like that. So I really wanted to use my platform for something sort of worthwhile.
Absolutely. It's amazing to put your name to something like that. I think it's so important now more than ever that people do acknowledge it and talk, and that there's no shame in it. Do you know what I mean? I think for so many years, people have felt an embarrassment about mental health. And it's like the famous saying, isn't it? It's okay to not be okay. And sometimes just having a conversation and opening up and telling someone can lift the weight off your shoulders.
Yeah, exactly that, Bobby. And I think I'm very, I'm lucky in a sense, and I'm very grateful in a sense that I have my friends and family around me. So even when I was, you know, even when I'm feeling down, for example, as I'm only human, everyone has their down days, right? I can actually open up and speak to, you know, mum, dad, best mates, et cetera, et cetera. And not a lot of people have that. And I think that is obviously, you know, one of the reasons where it stems from, poor mental health. But it's I think we're, you know, in this day and age, it is very pivotal that we actually speak about our emotions, mm-hmm. regardless of who you are, you know, speak about your emotions. You could, you know, you could think you're like the toughest man out there, you know, I don't need to speak to anyone, I can handle it, etc., etc. It's okay, as you said, it's okay to feel not okay. It's okay to have your down days, even if you think you're the toughest man in the world. You know, it's still okay to feel like crap, really. Yeah. You know, and to talk to someone. Yeah, exactly that. So
absolutely. Well, yeah, good for really, you, mate.
Yeah, well, thank you. Tyler, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Have a lovely
time in Rome.
Yeah, oh, enjoy you, well, you and your friends.
Thanks and thank you, mate.
See ya. Take care, mate. Bye, time.
No worries. See you later, guys. Thank you.
We have to keep an eye on his social media now, aren't we? See who this lady friend is.
See him and his friend. Yeah.
No, it's a nice chat to him, and it's always nice with the Love Islanders when they kind of sort of want to put their name to something important, isn't it? Like and make change in the world.
Definitely. Yeah. Great. What a lovely show.
What a gorge show. Once again, and. Now I'm going to go because I've got to see Eurovision. Bye.
Love you. Bye. So there's no need to ask what your plans are for the week. It's very much going to be a Eurovision fest.
In front of the television, watching Eurovision. Yes, basically.
Absolutely. It'll keep me posted. I want updates.
Oh, don't worry. There will be everywhere. yeah, what about you? Anything exciting?
Just pretty much kind of still getting settled, some more unpacking, you know what it's like, just odds and sods and getting straight, but all good. Sunday, the weather was amazing, so I hope it's here to stay.
Apparently it's going to be a heat wave next week, so...
Yeah, and I've got a nice bit of garden furniture ordered, so I'm hoping that's here in time to sit out there and catch a couple of rays.
Gorgeous, sounds lovely, Bob. Gorgeous, I'm very jealous.
Oh... well, it was lovely to see you again. I'm glad you had a lovely holiday. Sorry about your mate's foot.
she'll survive. She'll survive to see another day, to row another day.
I'll love her out.
Yeah. Until next week, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.